Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the Super Sleuth here. I just want to let you know, urgent announcement. If you are driving, buckle your seatbelt. If your seatbelt wasn't buckled and you're driving, shame on you. If you are sitting down and just listening to this, hold on to your seat because this is an extremely highly caffeinated episode of Cultish brought to you by CahiRoastingCo.com. There you can go and you can partner with us, and part of the proceeds from your purchase will go to support Jerry and I as we're trying to make this full-time transition into Cultish so we can bring you guys more awesome content. And we also have huge plans for 2021, from like a shop being introduced where you can buy some Cultish gear and other things. So this would not be possible without you guys who are part of the Cultish crew. Anyone who's went to thecultishshow.com and clicked the donate tab and has donated, thank you. Literally, you are part of Cultish. You have helped us immensely and you are partnering with us to create this awesome gospel-centered content. On top of that, this episode would not be possible without Apologia Studios. That's where we sit down and record our episodes, all right? So you can go to apologiastudios.com and become an all-access member and get exclusive episodes called Cultish the Aftermath, where Jerry and I get into deep theological conversations after every one of our series. So many cool things have happened during these conversations that you'll only have access to if you become an Apologia All Access member. On top of that, you can get all kinds of educational content from Pastor Jeff Durbin, Pastor James White. There's so much good content on Apologia All Access. So sit back, enjoy the show. We love you guys and have a great day.
My name is Eddie, and I was in a call.
Planet Earth about to be recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us.
Started as an effort by a charismatic preacher to build a new society, but it ended, of course, with the tragic deaths of more than 900 people.
Please, for God's sake, let's get on with it. We've lived as no other people have lived and loved. We've had as much of this world as you're going to get. Let's just be done with it. Let's be done with the agony of it. This is a revolutionary suicide. This is not a self-destructive suicide. So they're paying for this. They brought this upon us.
You're in a cult. I love you, and I want you out of it and with Christ.
But you're...
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, or should I say surprise, welcome to the surprise impromptu episode. We're going to call it something to the extent of kind of like a State of the Union, kind of talking about just where we've been. Some of you are new to the podcast. We've been around for, we started in
2018,
yeah, no, November of 2018. We dropped since then. A lot has happened. We are here with Alexander Larson. How are you, man?
Hi, COVIDia.
Yeah.
How are you doing out there?
COVIDia.
It's a little weird, huh?
It's a little strange. Not only because it used to be, like, when we first started the show, it kind of felt like, okay, we can kind of show up here. We can talk about cultish stuff and then go up to the normal life. And right now it feels like we're leaving the cultish new world,
yes.
Like the strange new world, COVID-1984, Fahrenheit 451, mm-hmm. Like all the different movies and films. Like, I'm trying to think of all the apocalyptic movies. Oh, Andrew, how are you doing, man?
Oh, no, I'm doing good. But just with what you're saying, it's kind of like what we're seeing right now, since we usually deal with cults that are kind of in the past, sometimes that are present, but we're actually seeing the formulation of a whole
yes.
new cultic movement right before our eyes. So I
yeah.
still think it's extremely relevant for today, you know, saying things like COVIDia or you name it going on right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got people
relevant.
Wearing masks, kneeling down to all kinds of baseless causes, looting, rioting, violence, right? There's health issues involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are all hallmarks of previous cults,
yeah.
but we're watching like the inception of it, this amalgamation of all of these different dystopian ideals
yeah.
turning into the cult of Corona. Like, it's
right.
its own cult almost.
And so now...
And it really is,
because yeah.
you go out and you see people... Like, I kind of almost appreciate it, because you go out and you're like, you know, I still am pretty resistant to the mask, just my own personal stance, right?
Yeah.
But like, I kind of watch how people are behaving,
mm.
and it's like you get close to people and you feel them inch away from you, right?
Mm.
Back out to the 6-foot zone. And you kind of already have like a read on people's critical thinking.
Yeah.
on how they're interacting with you. If they're just totally buying it, or they're thinking about it, or they can talk to you, but you can see the fear in people's eyes that are just like every day they go out there and they just completely believe that they're going to die from the less than, what is it, 1%? Less than 1% mortality rate?
Yeah.
Right? And like, I'm not discounting there's a corona out there, but...
Have you seen the, have you seen the Kevin James video that he did? Where he, it starts off, it's only a minute long, it's brilliant. He starts off and he's being chased down by these authorities with like helicopters.
I wish I could remember what it was called.
Yeah, just type in like Kevin James and just like a funny video, like a mask or something like that.
Social distancing.
Yeah, social distancing mask.
So good.
And it starts off, so he's in Central Park, and a buddy comes up, and it turns out, like, they find out that they shook hands. And all these people are looking at them, like, calling on the phone, like, wearing masks.
They're, like, frozen mid-handshake. But people are taking pictures of them and have their corona masks on, and it turns into, like, a full manhunt.
Yeah. So, real quickly, if anyone, some people are brand new to the podcast, a lot of people have been with us since day one. So real quickly, I mean, if you obviously you won't tell the full story. We have a whole 2-part podcast in your story.
Yeah.
You were a devout Hare Krishna for 10 years. And
I don't know why you guys keep having me on the show. People are like, oh, this guy again. So,
I know. It's crazy. That's crazy.
Unsubscribe.
But,
I'm just kidding.
No. So you now it's you. So you and your wife, Sky, have 4 kids.
Yep. So far.
So far. Yeah. And
getting up into them Apologia numbers,
right.
You know?
And so some people are going to, some people have already made up their minds. We want to give some context here to the bottles. So there's probably like already in the YouTube comment section, or if you post on our social media, there's probably some big debate whether or not like Christians should be like booze or like should drink alcohol or something like that. Just so you know too, these are actually delicious cold brews.
Just cold brew people.
Just cold brew. Just because
and beer convention right
now. Yes. All right. So I just want to not nip that in the bud, but your passion, just real quickly, I mean, you're right now, like the big thing, your passion is coffee. We've posted on your social media. It's funny, we're talking about COVID. It's relevant because you had just launched your coffee business, and all of a sudden you had a whole bunch of vendors and stuff getting ready to sell, and you had all this product ready to sell.
Well, I got laid off from my job first, just like a lot of people did.
Yeah.
It was a pretty decent job as an elevator mechanic apprentice. And I'm like, all right, well, I got to keep feeding all these kids, and... So I fell back on my my 20-year trade of coffee, and so we made about 500 pounds of coffee ahead of time, not realizing that Corona was going to further lay me off from 9 live events. So we were standing there with a bunch of product a couple weeks later, and then you guys, you know, helping a bro out and posted about us. And
we gave you a shout-out, and a lot of you, even who are listening here, you probably have had Kahi coffee.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you haven't had it, go. We're gonna plug you here. Go to kahicoffee.com. You have a
Kahi Roasting Co.
.com. I should know that.
I know we're still new.
Coffee Roasting Co. .com.
Good.
And the cool thing is, you have a section where you can go to Cultish, and it automatically is there on the website. So if you buy coffee of any amount, like we have a percentage that helps go towards Cultish, helps go towards the studio, also helps towards Andrew and I going full time. So. And it's just, it is a cool opportunity though, where even now as we have an opportunity now, even with all everything being crazy, is to help each other out, use each other's platforms to lift each other up. Because right now what you're seeing too, is that almost in a way where there's like groupthink and undue influence, you're seeing a lot of the social pressures of large corporations who are all chanting a certain narrative. And it seems to change every couple of months. I mean, it's a total clown world that we're in right now.
But, I love that phrase, clown world.
Yeah.
I turn on the news every day. It's like, can't even believe the stuff you're reading.
Crazy. I know. Well, isn't it I was thinking of the Frank Sinatra song from, it's on the soundtrack too, of from the Joker film with Joaquin Phoenix. There's the Frank Sinatra song. It's like, send in the clowns.
Mm. Yeah.
Like you listen to that, it's just like, this is the soundtrack of 2020.
I feel like a good summary of that is that, you know, for those of us that read the Babylon Bee, that you have to look really close to see if it's a Babylon Bee article or something from CNN.
Oh, it's
because
crazy.
You can't. So sometimes I'm like, oh, this Babylon Bee, and then that's a Fox News article.
No joke.
Yeah.
That really happened 2 states away from me. It's just like,
right.
So
it's crazy. So what's crazy though is that you know, you think about like why a show like this is so important, though, right now, especially with what's going on, because one of the big ways that cults really grow, or even they either grow or movements start, radicalized movements start, or a charismatic leader sometimes is during times of uncertainty. So you saw that with, obviously, Jim Jones. Because the funny thing is, too, people look at Jim Jones and everyone always equates it with drink the Kool-Aid. And it's almost, right. it's almost at this point, it's annoying because the fact that that's just the pinnacle mm-hmm. of just one small event.
Mm.
What people don't really know or just are unwary of is the fact of he had this whole radical social justice gospel that he used to infiltrate the church.
Yep.
He was a devout Marxist.
Yep.
So it's almost with all the research that we did for our initial episodes and what you're seeing right now, both in the world and even in evangelicalism, I mean, it's stunning to see what you would see, even some typical woke evangelicals, where I would say this, because you have to be careful, because Jim Jones is one of those emotional impact words, right. Just like right now, white supremacy,
mm-hmm. right.
or white guilt or white privilege, you know, or all those different emotional impact words where words don't mean anything. But historical reality, a lot of these woke evangelicals, a lot of sort of like the woke movement, they'd be lined around the door to go to the People's Temple.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that right now, if you knew the whole history behind it,
yeah.
That's why this environment right now, I would say, just everything's going crazy, but as far as dealing with counterfeit religions, counterfeit Christianity, it's a powder keg for a Jim Jones, a person like that, if you know the history of the People's Temple.
Yeah, it's like, how did the People's Temple get to the point that it got to, right? So cults use specific tactics in order to get people brainwashed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we see with COVIDia, I'm going to take Alexander's term right there. Well, what happens? Oh, separate. Go to your own homes. Don't talk with other people.
How fast did it happen?
And then be fed constant indoctrination. So you're in trouble.
Turn your neighbors in.
Put them in the other room. Mm-hmm. Make them hear this. Make them hear that for a certain amount of time. You know, you get to brainwash people. Yeah. Brainwash, separate the masses.
And I would say you could almost go as far to say that Marxism and the sort of behaviors politically and socially that are happening right now is a cult of the state.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm
getting at. It's the cult of the state.
See, and then cultish, what we need to be doing, at least be talking about, is no, we need to break the separation of the mold from this social distancing era, right? We need to talk to each other. You know, we need to actually exchange our ideas with one another and challenge cult-like mm-hmm. programming, because right now, our society, whether they understand it or not, which most of the time when you're being programmed by a cult, you're not recognizing that it's right. happening,
mm-hmm.
but it's happening now.
Yeah. So, and also what you see though, is that when you have, like we were talking, when Jeff was talking about last night in his sermon,
fire,
that it was fantastic. And so as crazy as it is, when you're seeing at the end of the day, an oppressive state that's wanting to have control over every aspect of our lives. And again, so people's like, well, you're sure about cults. Why are you getting political? Well, the thing we love you all, but like the reality is there's no, if all things are created by Christ and for Christ, there's no area, there's no realm or sphere that is neutral.
It's right? why we're in the situation right. we're in, because the church has stayed out of everything right. political right. and social.
Right, and so when it, so exactly. when it comes to a role like the kingdom of the cults, so we are here as primarily as cultists to take dominion over the world of the New Age and the occult. Because any other show that addresses those movements but doesn't do it from a biblical worldview, they can only really put a Band-Aid on an open and mortal wound. They don't have the ability to really address it holistically. But when it comes to, just for example, the oppressive state, what you're seeing right now is that we have the ability to make sense of it. Because as I was saying, people get upset. People don't want a God who is sovereign, who is omnipotent, who is all-powerful, who is authoritative and tells people what to do, like how they should live their lives, and all of a sudden they get surprised and shocked when they get an oppressive state that is.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is the question is whether or not you get justice. The question is what sort of justice?
Yeah.
And does it become where it's, you know, it's either God's law or it's autonomy. So you're looking in that regard to the cult, but also it makes sense with current events right now. So I can give an accounting and make sense of that. But for someone who doesn't have that framework in which to operate, to understand this is how statism works and how this oppression works and these injustices happen, they go looking for answers. And that's where someone like a Jim Jones or even David Koresh, who also used uncertainty at that time leading up to the millennium, the year 2000, when a lot of other cults broke out, even like a Heaven's Gate, a lot of them will use uncertainty in the world to create a movement. Even someone like Harold Camping, people getting caught up with him when it was May 24th? I can't remember the date. It was like 2012 or 2013 when Harold Camping was saying the world was going to end.
Right, somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah. So this is a powder keg and atmosphere, like where that's going to happen.
And not even just a specific person nowadays, but more like a political party or revolutionary movement. So we're seeing the state being tyrannical, but then we're seeing the people's revolt also wanting certain things being made in the image of God, like social justice, for example. However, it's not actually biblical, right? So we can see even from the people, and I can speak specifically, let's say, about certain movements going on, like Black Lives Matter movement. Who is Jesus to them? Do they have him redefined? Oh yeah, he was a protester, right? He was turning over tables in the temple. Jesus would be on our side. They're redefining who Jesus is. Ask him, is he God? The movement will say no. You see what I'm saying? Like, we're seeing cult-like movements, not just from the state, but also from a revolution of the people.
Right. Yeah, and so what I think one of the things, too, is that I get blown away, too, when you're talking about current events, is also, side note, obviously I'm a movie nerd here, but you think about how some of even the science fiction movies almost have predicted the future. Mm-hmm. So you look at a movie like Minority Report, where it's like pre-crime.
Yeah,
right. That's been a variable in play, right? And then you also have self-driving cars. Mm-hmm. So you have that. And then you have facial recognition. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of it, too. And so there's a part where he like gets his eyes squished out and too. But even like another example, too, is that you see all of a sudden all these statues are being torn down. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it reminds me, if you've seen the movie Equilibrium with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
So there, the whole story is that there's this guy named the Father, and he makes emotion anything that elicits emotion becomes illegal, because that's the source of all pain and suffering. So all art becomes illegal. In the very beginning of the film, they end up torching a Mona Lisa, and any sort of music, anything, like pets are illegal, and so they have to take the serum. Mm-hmm. And anyone who doesn't take the serum or tries to illegally collect art or anything that induces emotion, they become a sense offender.
That was that was a major theme in 1984, the book as well, is that if you... it's so interesting to me that these authors wrote this, you know, 60, 70 years ago. Some of the things they talk about are so specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what that is. I don't know how to attribute that, but it's amazing.
Right.
That's in there. They talk about anyone who doesn't behave a certain way in public gets vaporized. Yeah. That's what they call it in 1984, vaporization. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even right now, you know, it's I walked into a store yesterday with a face mask, and you would have thought, you know, I was walking in bloodied and dying because everyone just looked at me with such horror. I'm like, oh, okay, I got the face mask, right? But it's like you're almost to that point where you're getting vaporized from public in a way. You just disappear. You can't go out. They're making it stricter and stricter and stricter and restricting your liberties. There's things in even just little details that are, I mean, these aren't so political, but just interesting, like in Fahrenheit 451.
Yes.
He speaks about everyone walking around behaving the same. That book is about book burning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Firefighters, things no longer burn, really. So they've assigned the firefighters to go erase history through burning books. And everyone's walking around with the seashells in their ears, is what it says in the book.
Mm.
Playing pleasant tones to them so that they wouldn't be distracted by all the chaos and the terrible things going on around them. Wow. They had black screens in their homes. It's trippy. They couldn't read the Bible. He sneaks a Bible out. He's a firefighter. He sneaks a Bible out and reads it to his wife, and it makes her cry, just start weeping because it's so beautiful, but also because she's so scared because she's experiencing emotions and God's raw truth being expressed to her. Watching all a very strange mixture of all of that kind of coming into play right now is, but I will say, you know, you're talking about the powder keg that's primed.
Yeah.
I would say in these times, though, the opposite, our side, truth, Christ, that powder keg is also primed because the same fear that's driving people into these social behaviors, or just as soon as the state tells them to do something, they don't critically think, they just do it. That's all fear driven, mm-hmm. right? Which is super easy to do right now with the internet. There's so much false information going around. You can't tell what articles are real, which ones are written by AI, which ones are purely politically motivated, right? So you're just afraid all the time if you don't have the strength of Christ behind you, right?
A firm foundation.
Right, exactly. You're just standing on shifting sand. Mm-hmm. But when someone comes in, you're saying, you know, and offers some sort of foundation that benefits them, that's where the cult forms, right?
Yeah.
But you can, as a Christian person, there's actually a lot of opportunity in this chaos.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, I think it's entertaining.
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, it's sad to see, like, you know, there's people are afraid and stuff. I'm not happy about that. I'm not taking joy in any of that.
Right.
But kind of the mix up, the melee of it all.
Yeah.
You have so much opportunity to witness to people and tell them about the gospel. Most people who have heard about Jesus haven't even heard the real gospel.
Right.
Right. They don't even have a true understanding of it, and they hear it in this chaos. And what's that going to do immediately? It's just going to flow into their heart and give them a peace that no CNN article has ever given them, that no amount of face mask wearing has ever given them. It's going to be something that they can actually start to process in this environment, because their fear is so strong. They're just looking for anything to grasp, and you give them the truth to grasp.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a great, great opportunity for that.
You can't,
it really is.
It is. You can't help but live in God's universe, right? And we're fallen human beings. So we're looking for salvation. We're looking to understand the root of depravity in the world. But when you don't have a firm foundation, depravity becomes white privilege.
Right.
Depravity becomes systemic racism. Right. Depravity becomes social
injustice. Just
right?
Some trite phrase.
So you're misplacing what sin actually is and redefining the term. Right. This is what cults do. They redefine the term and they control the narrative to fit their agenda.
Right.
And then salvation means something different. It's like you're saying, we have the sword of the Spirit. The church holds the sword of the Spirit. The word of God cuts sharper than any two-edged sword, gets right down to separates the soul and the spirit. Right. So we have the answer. Like when I watch videos of people bowing down to certain people, raising their arms up. I'm sorry, but that's partly the church's fault. They should know exactly who to go to for salvation. But our silence causes those things.
Yep.
Like you said, our powder keg is primed. The Lord's saying, here it is. You understand salvation because I took your heart of stone and replaced it with the heart of flesh. Go out there.
Also,
call my sheep.
Well, people are incurably religious.
Exactly.
And people are incurably, I would even say, made in the image of God. And so when you have, for example, the majority of the evangelical church not preaching the full counsel of God and not talking about the seriousness of total depravity, that you are depraved with human sin, I would say that if I was as difficult as it would be, like I could not in good conscience ever bow, one, because there's only one knee I'm going to bow towards is Christ.
Amen.
But I know that my heart, apart from the grace of God, is evil, wicked, and eternally sick and desperately wicked apart from the grace of God, that there's no reason why God shouldn't kill me in my sleep last night and I should go to hell,
mm-hmm.
right? So I don't see how me trying to offer me and whatever my history is connected to as some sort of, offer it up as some sort of sacrifice or offering towards whatever this altar is, like I wouldn't do that. Like, no, turn to Christ. I'm a bad. Don't look for me for it. Like, why are you looking to me for atonement? Like,
right.
And that's what's so bizarre about this. But I think there's this vacuum too, where all of a sudden you see all these people that are kneeling down, you know, begging for forgiveness, and they're trying to find redemption, forgiveness.
Yep.
So the gospel isn't being preached in these evangelical churches. It's always about build, you know. Every day Friday, or everything's always wonderful, and everything's always good and wonderful. And so then all of a sudden you have a movement like Black Lives Matter, and all of a sudden you see people that are just religiously bowing the knee and now all of a sudden confessing all their, trying their best to confess their sins, no different than you see the Hindus who go into that river to what, you know about that, given your history of being a Hare Krishna. Like, how's that different?
Right.
Bro, they're not even, here's the thing again, we're going to go back to what's going on. They're not even gathering together. There's a forsaking of the assembly because of COVID, right? So when they're not there hearing the word of God being preached, let's just entertain for the minute. Maybe their preacher's not just tickling ears, but they can't even gather with one another, right?
You
they
can haven't gather even to been... kneel to a false
yeah,
pretense, though.
Yeah. You see,
that's
you,
fine.
You yeah. see the issue, though? But if you're not being led by a pastor, right, and you're not even able to gather together, you're not reading your Bible, where's your foundation?
Right.
You're going to go bow to something different.
Right.
You know?
And this is just part and parcel of the whole history of the world of cults, is that one of the things that Walter Martin talked about, if you look up just some of his introductory lectures to how to engage the kingdom of the cults, he said he'd always ask his students during his initial Bible classes, he says, when was the last time you heard a sermon on the Trinity or the deity of Jesus in a typical evangelical church? Almost always, no hands are raised. Like, when was the last time in the last 5 years have you heard, like, one sermon? And so that, and all of a sudden what happens is that he was like a 90-day wonder from the watchtower comes, and he'll twist the average Christian into a doctrinal pretzel. And that's why he would say even the majority of back then of cultists, when Walter Martin was around, they came from some sort of evangelical background, whether it was, like, Methodist, Baptist, Episcopalian, whatever, you know, obviously now Episcopalian is almost irrelevant. But yeah, I mean, you'd always see people come from a Christian background. But again, now you're seeing this vacuum where now it's being filled by all these mass movements. But I want to get your take, Alexander, because we're giving examples of 1984, Fahrenheit 451, mm-hmm. I just ordered Brave New World. I have these list of books I just want to binge through and go through. That's
I kind of like that you haven't read them, because now you'll read them as this is happening.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it'll seem... That's it'll be huge. Even more yeah. poignant, you know?
But a fantastic book I have read, which I highly recommend anyone who wants to kind of get an understanding of just how quickly of movement, like if you look at like what's happening in Minneapolis, there's this footage that I saw of this trucker that's trying to get into the city. Mm-hmm. And it looked like a scene out of a World War Z where all of these young kids,
Corona zombies,
these young kids, I would say, ironically, all Black Lives Matter activists, and they're all white. So I guess my white privilege, my white privilege will at least allow me to critique what's happening with white Black Lives Matter.
Who knows anymore? Protests. I don't know.
You have a voice there, is what
yeah.
you're saying.
Supposedly. We
oh
might,
my goodness.
We might even lose some of our subscribers. Oh, well, we're going to speak our minds. We're all going to get shut down anyways. But I was looking at this video, and they were swarming this, this trucker, and he was a gas tanker trucker. And I'm like, what, something's going
to happen. Dude's just trying to deliver fuel.
He's trying to deliver fuel.
Going 90 down the road in his semi-truck.
And one of the kids was holding on to the very front of the truck and was like kicking with his 2 feet, like trying to kick the door open.
Mad Maxing it.
Like, it was just wild. But I was looking at all these young kids and I was thinking what they were taught. This is a very short amount of time from when they were able to really intake information in the environment where they were able to act so radical so quickly. So when you look at how quickly people can be radicalized. So I want to read this quote. This is an excellent book from a guy named Eric Hoffer. The book is called The True Believer.
Oh, yes.
Thoughts on the Nature of Mass Movements. Have you read it?
Yeah. You bought it for me.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, we've read it. We did the thing for the series for Jim Jones back when we launched Cultish. But just check out this quote. Maybe I can get your thoughts on it because you may have not heard this. It says, "Hatred is the most accessible and comprehensive of all the unifying agents. Mass movements can rise and spread without belief in a God, but never without a belief in a devil." What do you think?
I don't even know what to say. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what we were talking about, is if you don't have God to show the depravity in your heart. And this, I get kind of worked up because I know we all have our different views on, you know, theonomy and on reformed theology and things like that, but I don't see how you can execute the Christian religion without acknowledging the fact that you're totally depraved without Christ.
Yeah.
And so you read a quote like that, let me put it in this framework. When I go out and I see all the madness going on right now with Corona,
yeah,
the reason I chuckle is not because I think it's funny that people are suffering and are scared. I chuckled to myself because you're going through so much fear and hatred, you know, watching these movements come in and people yelling at each other, and it's all baseless. And when you, in your heart, have the foundation and surety that you have in Christ, and you watch them all bickering and doing the most absurd things you've ever seen in your life out in society, then you just kind of have to, you can't get too serious about it because you know God's in charge, right? And you know that the human heart is depraved. So when I hear a quote like that, that hatred is the thing binding it all together, right? In the name of some sort of righteousness that I'm sure if you dug down deep, probably not that deep, but you start digging into it, you find a lot of, there's a lot of self-serving righteousness in a lot of what's going on right now. Because what are you going to cling on to right now? If you, the whole world's telling you that, you know, the Christian religion is outdated. Religion as a whole is just outdated, and we need humanitarianism as the, you know, we got to save the planet. It's all we have and everything. And people are looking around and there's no real answer in any of that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You're going to cling to a movement that's going on. It's exciting to cling to a movement because actually in your heart, that movement you want to cling to is God, is the holiness of God and the fact that he created everything. But if you can get people who don't have that foundation yet riled up about something they can cling on to, you know, they're going to do it.
Right.
They're going to do it because it gives them a sense of self-purpose and self-worth. Like they're actually doing something righteous. They don't have a base for it. They don't have a reason.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that they feel emotions about it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
if your heart is depraved and you don't have the foundation, it's going to be hatred, deceit, tricking each other, you know, whatever you got to do to get your thrills and feel like you're worth something.
If you've been told throughout your whole education system that you're nothing but an evolutionary process, that life is meaningless and all things are meaningless, like Pink Floyd, and here's a lyric, like we're just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl year after year.
Yeah.
If you think you found something that gives you meaning, as arbitrary as it is, that spews this fire inside of you for something, like you said, you are going to grab onto it.
Yeah, that's what happened to me in the Hare Krishna movement.
Mm.
It's so sensual. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah.
You know, is you're out there and these people are coming to your temple and you're all dressed in the robes and you've got your hair cut and everything. It draws all this attention, like being on the other side of that now, there was so much of that I was doing because it was just, it felt like it fed my own self-righteousness.
Right.
That's just the truth. And a lot of the guys that were doing it, it was the same thing because it's a look at me thing. So if you can tear down a bunch of statues, they don't even, you're reading stories about these people, they're tearing down black, like statues of black people that helped black people because they don't even know who the person is.
Dude, this is blowing my mind right now because if we think about it biblically, when the law of God was reclaimed, right? Mm-hmm. Back in the Old Testament, what was the first thing that was one of the first things commanded? Tear down the altars in the high places. This is what happens when God is reclaimed. But what we're seeing right now is the construction of a holy new God built in a fallen image, right? Mm-hmm. And so what are they doing and what are they commanding? Tear down the monuments.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty intense, bro. It's the same thing, but it's the wrong God.
Yeah, and that's another reason to not be afraid and to not get too caught up in the mix of it all. I actually have retreated quite a bit from Facebook and being online, and I'm finding a lot of mental clarity and peace from doing it because there's just so much crossfire going on and it's so hard to discern. But I also am finding some peace in the fact that what God tells you is going to happen when you put false idols in his place, and what he's already shown to us over and over and over is taking place again.
Yeah.
So I hear even a lot of Christian people right now with a lot of uncertainty, you know, and we have our eschatology.
Yeah.
You know, we all have our certain eschatology. But a lot of Christians think that we're in the end times right now.
Yeah.
It's like, man, this isn't the first rodeo. There's been a lot of false idols made. There's been a lot of empires that were bloody and torn to pieces. I mean, immediately after Jesus came, there's just Roman Empire was in flames.
Miles of crosses in Jerusalem with people hung on them.
Right? They probably all thought that was the end of the world.
Yeah.
That was going to be the end of all time, because how could you experience anything even more bloody than that, right? I'm sure lots of people in World War II, this is it. They saw that nuclear bomb go off. This has to be the end, right? It's been the end so many times, which harkens back to all the cultish stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's always the end, right? And again, I would say even that is a false idol, because you're kind of putting hope in the fact that all of this is just going to go away.
Right.
And that's a huge folly to me when your eschatology is wrong and your belief in God's sovereignty is off, you know? Yeah. I know wrong is a strong word, mm-hmm. but, you know, you have a certain idea in eschatology that right. the end is right around the corner, mm-hmm. and you don't, your own salvation is in question if you don't believe in once saved, always saved, mm-hmm. right? You think you're going to fall out of salvation. You think that God didn't choose you, mm-hmm. that he didn't foreknow you. You don't have any of that assurity. Of course you're going to be afraid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nothing about what you believe in God gives you assurity about what's going on.
It's like,
but if you have that assurity and you go out, what's going on right now can actually make your faith even stronger, mm-hmm. because what I'm looking at in the Bible, this is the same pattern that's been going on. It's actually just proving that the things in the Bible are true.
It's showing that God's actually in control and that he's yes. sovereign. But if you have a misunderstanding of God's sovereignty, you lose all assurance yes. is yes. pretty
that's
much what you're saying.
That's a better way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. I understand exactly yes. what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of the things too is that like you're seeing like even the whole issue of like the statues being torn down. Like I'm not really like worried about, I'm not like losing sweat over it because
I was
like,
going to touch on that too.
Yeah, and you can jump in it too, but I think at the end of the day, when it comes to the central person of history, it's Christ.
Yes.
Everything revolves around him, and almost, I mean, the whole kingdom of God is going to be forged with the swords of conquered kings. Mm. Like that's what you see. So like I saw even today, I guess people are tearing, there's I guess they're removing the statues of Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, people are getting to a debate about who he was. He was racist. Yes, he was. No, he wasn't. Like, for me, it's like, it's not that. For me, it's irrelevant because.
How many statues have been torn down that we didn't even know about?
Yeah.
Because they were gone long before any of us were.
Yeah. There. In fact, there's a. I'll have to pull up the quote later by a guy named Malcolm Muggeridge that the late Ravi Zacharias quoted in context to the context of history and where it's all going. But, but yeah, because so you look at something like that and you have civilizations rising and falling like all throughout history, but in the last 2,000 years, like you see God who is sovereign. You look, and obviously you look at comparisons. There are a lot of people too, when Rome was definitively falling and everyone knew they're on the point of no return, people were like, what's going to happen? We're like, well, where does it go beyond here? And here we are all this time later.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking on Sunday about the nature of like what the New Testament church was like. And how they were having to defy the state in their time. And those Christians are going to have to do that too. But jumping back to the world of the cults, I think what's interesting, well, you can jump on the statues in just a second if you want to, is that when it comes to how an event like this leads towards a vacuum to be filled by the world of the cults, the New Age, the occult, etc., is that when you look at, what was I thinking? Oh, yeah. So it was Stephen Bancroft. We had him on for our initial episode. We kind of talked about why is the New Age so prominent right now. It's because you have this radical shift towards secularization, but we have a God-shaped hole that we need. We're built for a relationship with God that's made through Christ. And so when that is not filled by secularization and the gospel's not there, people go to all sort of New Age and fringe spirituality of what's happening here. So a lot of people, for example, who'd say like they're atheists would probably find just meaning and, you know, just some basic certainty. Waking up in the morning, going to get your coffee, mm-hmm. Coffee, but any coffee.
Better be.
Yeah.
Better be.
Yeah. CoffeeRoastingCo.com.
Yes.
Go to the apology Got section. It. Another plug. But yeah, just like certainty and like, let me go to my work. Let me go pay my mortgage. Let me do all this stuff. So all of a sudden, the whole world gets turned upside down like this. And all just the consistency and some level of meaning in a strictly material world, that's turned upside down. What else do you have to live for?
Yeah.
So if you look, for example, in California, I forget the stats were, it was heartbreaking. The suicide hotline and like inbound rate,
mm-hmm.
It was some percentage increase, like plus 1,000% of just people who were just desperate in need.
How sad is it going to be when we get to the other side of this, whatever this looks like, and there's, you know, we've heard multiple reports that they're just marking everyone COVID, you know, I don't know the truth behind that because it's hard to discern anymore, but there's a lot of talk that they get certain funding at hospitals and stuff if they have COVID deaths, right? And that's nothing new either. That's not conspiracy theory. That's just depraved human hearts trying to get money, right? Because people die anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's say we get to the other side and we've got, you know, 300,000 corona deaths, you know, in the United States after the pandemic, you know. Mm-hmm. They've got all their new systems in place. But then we look at the suicide numbers and there's 2 million suicides.
Wow.
More than there were. And there's, yeah. you know, there's this whole other side we're not seeing because everyone's so focused on this thing they've put in the spotlight and we're all distracted over here. And there's people that can't feed their children. There's people that are killing themselves because they're so, they were already on the edge. Mm-hmm. It was already a tight world anyway.
Yeah.
And now you're taking away, like you're saying, mm-hmm. you know, people put their careers way up on a pedestal. I'm guilty. Mm-hmm. When I was a fireman, I thought that's all I was. I wasn't saved yet, but that's who I was. I identified as a fireman. That was all of my identity. If you take that away from me and I don't have God in my heart to go, oh, well, my identity is in Christ. Yeah. That's just what I did to support my family.
Bro.
You just gutted everything I have left.
Yes.
That's going to be just as detrimental, if not more, than any of the actual sickness that's going around.
Yep.
That's going to change people's whole lives and perceptions, you know, or people that don't, maybe they, you know, they have a different understanding of the gospel, right?
Yeah.
They haven't heard the real gospel and that all gets gutted from them. And they go, well, I hate you, God. You know, all this corona happened. Why'd you let it happen? Why'd you let this happen? And I took away my identity.
Mm-hmm.
I had this great job as a computer programmer and now they're not even going to have our building back because they realized how lean they could run. You know, and turn people's hearts nasty because their identity was actually in what they were or the way their house was or the things they had. That's all getting turned on its head.
Dude, see, this is exactly what I was thinking while Jerry was talking, and you're nailing it, bro. Like, this is the thing. The Christian has the advantage of a vantage point that looks outside of a system, right? Our identity is bound up in Christ. We even have 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where it's such were some of you, but you've been washed and you've been cleansed, talking about a new identity we have now in Jesus. So when we see people getting upset or fearful from monuments being torn down, these are people who are like, well, I'm an American.
Yes.
Yeah. That's their identity, right? We have people losing their jobs and they're getting angry because that's what they've developed, this arbitrary meaningful purpose that they have. But then when it gets taken from them, they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the Christian, I can sit back and look and I can say, well, what's Jesus doing throughout all of this? Because I may live in America, but Christ is my king. Right. And he's also the king of the universe and he judges all things in the present.
Yeah.
So there's something that he's doing. He has his plan, just like with Joseph. Right. Mm-hmm. He was thrown into the hole. He then became like Pharaoh's right hand man in Egypt, brought the Israelites. What seemed to be horrible was actually God doing something, bringing something to fruition. Coming from the Israelites was Jesus himself, right?
So on that point, back to the statues.
Yeah.
This is a good part to jump in. I have kind of an unpopular opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're like, oh, they're tearing down the statues, right? Well, history is still whatever history was.
Yeah.
You can't change history, right? Yeah. But a statue in a park is not who this country should be, actually. It's not who you should identify with. You should not hold a statue of George Washington in any higher regard, actually, than a stone, because it's all God's, right? It's just carved stone. So I'm not for them tearing the statues down necessarily. I don't think it's good to be lawless and, you know, destroy public property or private property. None of that's good. But to be so enraged, like, you should probably check yourself if you're so enraged that they're tearing down those statues. Where is your identity, right? So I said to my wife, I was like, I don't think it's good they're doing it, but I'm also not, I like what you said, Jerry, I'm not worried about it because change, it's not changing. They can say whatever they want. They can tear down any statue. It doesn't change who George Washington really was and what really happened in history, first of all. Second of all, I think Jeff called it America Christians in his sermon yesterday, right? We're not talking about America Christianity. This isn't about, I identify as an American and also a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
No, your entire identity should be in the fact that Christ is your king. That's the surety of all of it. So if they tear down all the statues, you shouldn't have one heart palpitation about it because Christ is your king. So it's like, oh, well, that was a nice statue of George Washington, but I mean, should we have really made a statue of him in the first place? Like, right?
George Washington.
We're making carved images of other men that were like, You're borderline worshiping it when you're like, no, the statue of George Washington.
Well,
and it's like, but you're not that angry about not being able to meet at church. In fact, you're turning other Christians in when they say that they're going to go to church. But then you're mad about the George Washington statue.
Yeah.
So where's your identity?
But yeah, and even like in this whole discussion, though, like when you talk about the whole statue thing, is that it's like, what's the real reason behind the reason why they're doing this? Is that people always, they want to have some sort of devil to hate so they don't have to look at themselves.
Absolutely. Oh, so, I love that.
So when all of a sudden, when you're outraged and worried about tearing down whatever statue mm-hmm. is, regardless of the context, you're so preoccupied with that, you don't really have to deal with the evil sin that's in your own heart. Mm. And I could say this, you could find every single statue in the world that has any, the remotest connection to white supremacy, whatever you want to call it, tear it all down. It will not change an iota as far as the evil and racism and all aspects that are in the wickedness that are in men's hearts. Like, it won't go away.
Yeah.
Like, in fact, I remember hearing a story one time talking about the sex trafficking industry. They said that if you stopped every single sex trafficking ring, like right now, just did this huge raid and just stopped every single one of them, the vacuum would be filled almost instantaneously because of the demand,
mm-hmm.
because of what's in men's hearts. And it's the same thing too with statues. 10 years from now, we would have statues of people just even more wicked. 30, 40 years from now.
Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, there'd be a statue of Greta
Coming
Thunberg.
Soon.
A giant statue.
Like
How dare you?
Pointing at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're out in public without your mask on. Yeah. How dare you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one of the things we look at current events. And that's one of the things too, is that I think maybe part of this episode to encourage people listening is that you need to really kind of look at the big picture, is that you have a God who is sovereign in history. And sometimes when you look at like a debate like the statues, you need to take maybe more of an aerial view of what's really going on in the light of God's sovereignty and where history is headed, especially knowing that the gospel is victorious in history. Like, we have optimistic eschatology that, like, we are kind of going through the great unknown,
mm-hmm.
but on the other end, whether it's in this generation where we're alive or it's maybe down the road 1,000 years from now, you're like, 1,000, are you crazy? No, 1,000 years from now, maybe that's where there's this moment where we think that the gospel will be victorious, but like, we have a God who is sovereign behind it all. But just jumping real quickly, because I had a point where we're just bouncing around, and probably some of it has to do with this delicious cold brew, which you can get at kahiroastingco.com. Go to the cold
section. You can't get the cold brew yet, though.
Yeah. I know.
I'm working on that.
Only local, but it's you can make your own cold brew through it if you kind of
look
online. Yes.
I'll grind it for you.
Yes.
Cold brew coarseness. Can I say one more thing before we go to the next thing?
No.
Also, God judges nations.
Yeah. He's doing it now.
And what is our example of him doing it? He hands them over to their sins that they want. So when you see this happening and you're like, oh, now we got to, I can't believe this is happening. How can you not believe it's happening? What have we been doing for the last 50 years? It's been solid decadence, moving away from God in the schools, taking his name off everything, putting up idols, putting up statues, and worshiping meaningless art, and being crass, and putting images on our TVs that are full of sin and depravity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's ironic, because some of the things you start to learn as you get deeper and deeper into your Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear a pastor say something to you, like, when I first heard, sometimes God's judgment on you is just handing you over to the sin you're begging for, right? And that's been his example several times. Is like, if you refuse, there's always like a direct correlation to the sin that you just are bathing in. It has a very observable and correlative result.
Mm.
And that just blew my mind. And then tacking that on to that, he can judge a nation through the sins they're desiring.
Mm. Mm.
Well, okay. So if you just see the whole country burning and we have idols and what have we been doing for the last 10 years in this country? Making ideologies and phrases, right? It's been all phrases, you know, like the Black Lives Matter phrase.
Yeah.
Even to an extent, flatten the curve. You get these little phrases they put that become these little mini idols.
Right.
So that when someone disagrees with you or is critically thinking or brings it back to the gospel, they can just say, well, we need to flatten the curve.
Become scripture.
Right.
Well, it's almost like our critical thinking typically gets reduced down to a meme.
Yes, absolutely. And the internet has not done us a great service in that. It has definitely made it so that people speak in these little phrases that as soon as they say them, they can be four words and you know their whole ideology.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, like, let's have a conversation, right?
Yeah.
But taking it back to like the judgment aspect, it's like you're making these phrases your religion. You're making flatten the curve your religion. So I'm going to put the mask on and I'm going to go out. And I'm not saying that it's always a bad idea to wear a mask. I want to make that clear. I'm not making fun of people who wear masks. I think there is coronavirus, right? I just think they're using it as a tool to introduce new ideologies.
For sure. But
making that your religion and going out every day and seeing other people and wanting to become like cult of the COVID and getting on people who have made other decisions, how they're governing their life, you're making that an idol in your life.
Right.
Well, then he's going to use that vehicle to just go, okay, well, you guys want to live in COVIDia? Okay. How many times in history have I had to turn people over to their own sins to let them just dissolve themselves?
Yeah.
And when going back to the statues, it's like, yeah, the statues are coming down. We're only a 200-something-year-old. Yeah, what are we at? 240?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there, year old empire. There's empires that were around for hundreds and hundreds of years and their statues came down and they came back up. And you think about God's view on that, him looking down, just chuckling, man, just chuckling at the statues coming down, everyone fighting about which statues come down and the new statues come up. Right.
Right. I love it. Like, so
over and over and over cycles.
What I'm hearing is there's a lot of madness. There's a lot of chaos going on. But as a Christian, we have the ability, and I'm going to say this, the privilege through Christ to actually use him as the vantage point. He sits on top
privilege.
He sits on top of Mount Zion, right?
Yeah.
He is looking down and he is controlling all things. So we have the ability to have that objective view of society, and that's what we should have. We should keep our eyes on the heavenly promises of God. Our faith is a telescope to see through current circumstances.
George
to
Washington
what they
statue
truly
are. Is not going
to
help you with anything.
No,
right now.
Christ is the key, right?
Yeah.
That's what we need to be holding on to, is his privilege.
Yeah. And so one of the things too, when you talk about
can we get Christ privilege shirts?
No, this is the thing. Calling all listen to this. Calling all Black Lives Matter. All right. Mm-hmm. Listen. You should be thanking God for every Christian that you see because of their privilege through Christ that God has not destroyed the earth already.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's good. One thing too, because I was talking about how like cults and movements will come out of this, is on one hand you have people have uncertainty, and I was giving the example too earlier of the suicide rate going up astronomically, which is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But then you'd have people all of a sudden trying to find some level of certainty. And maybe they start looking online, they come across someone like Dr. Stephen Greer. I even saw ads in the last couple of months of people looking for, hey, are you locked down at home? Can you not leave the house? Have you tried astral projection or lucid dreaming? Here's a way to escape. Or even now, like right now, one of the biggest things that's having a huge prominent resurgence is psychedelics and LSD.
Yeah.
And so, hey, let me go ahead, take this pill, take this substance, get into an altered state of consciousness, go on a trip without having to have travel papers, right?
And astral couch surfing.
Yeah, yeah. So you can do that because, you know, it's like, hey, did you already binge through Netflix already? Go ahead and see a kaleidoscope of craziness. So you definitely have that. And then also you have a whole aura of different internet gurus now, because in the same way how now, you know, there might be people who are afraid to take propaganda from a different cultist or a Hare Krishna, you'd hand out materials and stuff
constantly.
And now maybe in the future, people are going to be afraid to take a tract because you handed it to them. Did they sanitize their hands or they didn't, they're not wearing a plastic glove, you know, whatever you want to call it. And so like you're always, so now people are going over to the internet. There's a bunch of online gurus that people are going online searching. Jeez. So that it always is, it's always evolving and always changing. So even a lot of the LDS missionaries, for example, they are now doing a lot of their evangelism online. So you're definitely seeing that all over the place. And some of the reason for that too is the really people getting sucked into the cults and also different gurus have special hidden insight into what's going on is because of the whole, you know, discussion of fake news. Because when you have literally for example, and this is just an example here. We're not siding with one or the other, but I just saw this where it was literally, it was on Newsweek, literally within 1 hour of each other, and they said, huge resurgence of COVID-19 after Trump rally. Mm-hmm. And then literally an hour and a half later, this is, says study shows this huge resurgence of coronavirus. An hour later, or an hour and a half later, they said, oh, the study shows no surges of coronavirus after Black Lives Matter demonstration.
Couldn't be that.
Yeah, and so no relation whatsoever. So it's like, come on, right? Yeah. And that's just one example. But even another example, too, is that when the riots started, there was a news station, if I remember correctly, they used a screenshot from the Brad Pitt movie World War Z,
right,
of a city in flames,
yes,
and it was MSNBC. So there's this distrust of mainstream sources for information, and I think that also not only about Trump main sources when it comes to like news and current events and politics, but it also applies to, it's part and parcel of people wanting to find alternatives to spirituality versus like the main, because there's this whole distrust of primary central authorities. So people would see what America was founded on, which is the benefit we've really kind of, you know, had the benefits of biblical Christianity and the principles of God's law that have really blessed America. So in many ways, when it says God shed his grace on thee, there's many aspects when we talk to a right to trial by jury, the right to remain silent, a lot of things that we've had, or these rights that now are, you know, probably aren't going to be here much longer.
A lot of rights that the same people are saying they're demanding right now while they're abolishing it.
Right.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
So on what basis?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right, so you have that. So I mean, all of that is that people are now delving into alternative sources. So you're going to see the resurgence of new movements, both political and also cultic, occultic, sometimes combining all three. So that's one of the reasons too why I think a show like Cultish and what we're doing here is that, you know, we've been around for about a year and a half or so, and I think right now it's even more important than ever to really bring the hope of the gospel into situations and into the culture right now. It's needed more than ever, most definitely. So one of the things we're going to be doing is launching, if you guys are listening to this episode now, this is sort of a fun impromptu conversation. We have a new segment that we're adding in. So we are under the umbrella of Apologia Studios. As you know, the show would not be possible without the studio and all the support that happens. We have different people that set up the curtains and the lights and everything here. But we have on Apology All Access. If you go to apologiastudios.com, you sign up for All Access. We have a new show called Cultish the Aftermath.
Yes.
And so by now we'll have several episodes available now. And usually right when we're done recording a show, we have all these different thoughts, all these different things we want to say. And that's where we're going to record additional segments. So it's a way for you guys to kind of get to know Andrew and I a little bit deeper. And hopefully this is kind of a cool episode just to see us chatting back and forth. I mean, most of the time, you obviously been a guest before, but most of the time we've been just interviewing people who have come out of cults. Mm-hmm. And that's only one small part of what we want to do. We want to be able to have a time where we kind of explain, you know, what's going on in the culture when it comes to, you know, fringe spirituality or different counterfeit Christian cults, or even there's a lot within a biblical worldview and a biblical framework. You can give a true accounting of Fahrenheit 451, of 1984, of Brave New World.
Sure.
That's this is the world that God created, and
yeah,
you are seeing fallen human beings created in the image of God that are trying to take dominion over the world in a weird and perverse way. And so
you're either for him or against him, right?
Right.
Mm.
So
yeah,
people who try to take the sphere of God and lessen it to this, mm-hmm, and keep all the politics and everything out of it, well, then you can't.
Right.
Yes.
If you're either for him or against him, there wasn't a third option. Mm-hmm. There wasn't, and this area over here that we just won't talk about, and it'll just pass.
Yeah.
And we'll keep, you know,
right,
just sing our nice songs and stay out of everyone's business. Well, this is what happens when you just sing nice songs and stay out of everyone's business, and you don't take charge and bring it into the public square and engage. It's well, okay, mm-hmm, that didn't work. Let's go ahead and
you can't understand the dark without the light.
Yeah.
And if you deny the light, you're swinging blind. and you're going to hit everyone around you.
Yep. And we know what's going on right now.
And we know in John chapter 1 that the darkness will never overcome the light. And Christ was the light that came into the world to bring life to all men.
Yes. Yeah. So so we are here. We're not going anywhere. And this is kind of like our just sort of state of the union, sort of just giving commentary on everything that's going on.
I think you're going to have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
I really think that all of this coming forward, the way we're watching people behave and our politicians, mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen some bizarre behaviors out of mm-hmm. politicians. Like, you turn on TV, you're watching the news reports, and you're like, what are they doing? Why are you all dressed in an African tribe's shawl, kneeling down for 8 minutes and 49 seconds or whatever it was?
Not to mention that the African shawl was based off of a tribe, I believe, in Africa that had slavery.
Yes.
Protesting
slavery.
You're not
even doing research on the things that you're performing out in public, and you're our public servants, and I'm paying you with my tax dollars. I mean, it's just bizarre, right? But the actual socio-political behaviors of the general public that are coming from this, I think it's borderline cult. I can feel it when you're out there.
Oh,
you're
yeah,
like,
for sure.
Man, this is like, I feel like the whole city, like you go into the city. I kind of live out on the outskirts.
Yep.
Every time I get a nice, like, very stark contrast every time I come into, you know, this part of town, and it looks like a totally different place now. You're going in with the plastic barriers up and everything, and everyone's kind of getting into it, like, oh we're in COVID. It's so dramatic, you know.
COVID.
But you know what?
We should make a T-shirt of that.
You can tell this is a kind of more lighthearted. You can totally mess with people right now, you know, not in a mean spirited way, but like just to give an example, just to kind of give, you know, you gotta have comedic relief, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm out. Sometimes I do Instacart for side money, right? And so I'm out shopping, doing some shopping, and I'm in the ice cream aisle just shopping for a customer. And there's this lady, she's standing probably like 5.25 feet away from me, right? So they have these little alarms at the grocery store I was at where if you keep the freezer door open too long, it starts beeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that the workers are like, oh, yeah, you got to go shut that so all the stuff doesn't melt, right? Uh-huh. So the lady was looking at her ice cream for a really long time and started beeping. And I was like, I turned to her and I was like, I really did this. This is, I don't know, it's kind of borderline, but you got to have fun out there, man.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, you're not 6 feet away from me. That's the social distance alarm.
Yes.
No.
And the lady, she was like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, they just installed them here. They're social distance alarms. If you're within 6 feet for too long, they'll come over and tell us we can't shop in here. She's like, oh my gosh.
No.
I am so sorry. I had no idea. I was like, you know, this is life now. It's okay. I forgive you this time. Like, I never corrected. Yeah. I never told her I was joking. So she probably went and told a few of her friends their social distance alarm. And I actually convinced a cashier at that same grocery store that they were renaming Earth to COVIDia.
Yeah.
I really did. I was in line, and because it was right during that time when there were so many news stories coming out, and we were all new to all this. And everything you read was just so mind-blowing and weird and just, like, messed with your head. So this poor girl, she's probably, I don't know, 17, working at the grocery store.
Mm.
And I was in line. I was just causing trouble out there. Mm. Probably not the best use of my time, but you got to lighten the mood. And I'm in line, and I was like, did you hear today what they announced? Because it was, like, all the governors were making announcements, and they were making new rules about masks, and right? So there's all this stuff coming. So people would just believe anything you said. And I was like, they're changing the name of Earth. It's over. It's COVIDia now.
It's over.
And she looked at me and she's like, really? And I was like, yeah, it's actually illegal to say Earth anymore. She was like, on board. Okay. All right. I won't say that anymore. I was like, yeah, you better not say Earth anymore. That's like swear word. It's COVIDia now. Just so everyone remembers how we're supposed to behave out in public. I've been having a lot of fun with it when I'm out.
Secret Agent Alexander, the peddler of disinformation.
Yeah. Just causing trouble.
There have been a lot of studies, for example, of just showing the effects of groupthink and undue influence.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, you could look at society, and you could do a whole episode on this. It's Steve Hassan's from Combating Cult Mind Control and Freedom of Mind. He talked about behavior control, his BITE model, behavior control, information control, thought control, emotional control.
Mm.
The whole aspect sociologically you can see of that is huge right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think it's really important to really have a show like this where we can talk about these issues and really understand what's going on from a biblical framework, because the biblical worldview encompasses every single area of life. And so, yeah, Yeah. Did you have anything else, Andrew?
No, it's beautiful, bro. We can't forget who Jesus is, man. All authority on heaven and earth was given to him.
Yes.
It's plain and simple right there. And if you forget that, you then start, you know, succumbing to the chaos.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you have that knowledge. It's kind of fun out there. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of opportunity. There's opportunity to witness to people.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually business opportunity if you're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pent-up demand. Like, don't give up hope. Just adjust, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, even what happened with your, like your store in Lightwood, when you all of a sudden have that lack of demand because all the local markets have been shut down because of the lockdown in March, but everyone's at home.
Yeah, you got everyone's attention online.
And everyone's online. And so what we did is when we gave a promo for you guys is that we went and you guys sold out a product because there's this bent up demand. And so it's, you know, opportunity is never lost. It's merely transferred, or even wealth is never lost. It's merely transferred. It's just a matter of finding out where people are. And that's a whole nother business aspect of it. And we were able to bless you in that regard.
If you have Christians in your life that do business, use them.
Right.
We got to help each other too. Like, that's the thing about what's going on right now. They're all unified.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chaotic message. Sometimes it's not even the same message from each person, but they're unified in their front.
Yeah.
No one's stopping them tearing down statues because there's mm-hmm. so many of them that are like, oh, we're tearing that down. And you can't stop them, right? Christians need to do that for each other. If you know someone that goes to your church and they have a business and you need that service, you know, or they make meal prep or what, don't go to some corporate place. Like, help that person out. During coronavirus, let's figure it out. And then forever, you should be doing that forever.
Yeah. So in that,
I'm really passionate about that. You got to help your Christian business people out.
And on that, so on that note, kind of following in that wake, go to coffeeroastingco.com.
Yes. Got it.
Go there, buy some coffee. Do you have merch yet?
Not yet. We'll get there. We got some stuff in the
works. We got merch coming, everyone. We've got a meeting this upcoming week whenever this gets released. So it's coming. Be patient. We've got stuff coming. I would just say again, thank you all for listening. This has been a fun little sort of impromptu kind of state of the union, current state of affairs, both in the world, how does it affect the cults, the occult, and even the areas of mind control, undue influence, things like that. Like I said, dealing with these things from a very level-headed biblical worldview is very, very important. And also, let's say we have a new after show that's available on ApologiaStudios.com in the All Access section called Cultish the Aftermath. So go to ApologiaStudios.com, become an All Access member, and you'll be able to access all the episodes of Cultish the Aftermath, our little wrap-up of whenever we do our series. But I want to actually just read a paraphrase quote. I was actually thinking about this when it comes to the entirety of history and thinking about where things are headed, and also even in regards, like, we brought up the issue of statues being torn down. This is the latest thing. It's probably gonna be something next week, whatever it is. But this is a quote I remember Ravi Zacharias during one of his talks. He talked about, and this is by a guy named Malcolm Muggeridge, who was, I believe, was a late journalist. But he had this amazing quote, and I'm just gonna paraphrase it here. He says, "We look back upon history and what do we see? Empires rising and falling, revolutions and counter-revolutions, wealth accumulating and wealth dispersed, one nation dominant and then another. Shakespeare speaks of the rise and fall of the great ones that ebb and flow with the moon. I look back on my fellow countrymen ruling over a quarter of the world, the great majority of them convinced in the words that is still a favorite song, that God who made the mighty would make them mightier yet. I've heard a crazy cracked Austrian announce to the world the establishment of a German Reich that would last over 1,000 years. I heard an Italian clown announce that he would restart the calendar and begin his own ascension to power. I've seen America wealthier and in the terms of weaponry more powerful than the rest of the world put together, so that had the American people desired, they could have outdone an Alexander or a Julius Caesar in the range of the scale and scale of their conquest. All in one lifetime, all gone with the wind. England, part of the tiny island off the coast of Europe, threatened with dismemberment and even bankruptcy. Hitler and Mussolini dead, remembered only in infamy. Stalin, a forbidden name in the regime he helped found and dominate for some 3 decades. America haunted by the fears of running out of those precious fluids that would keep her motorways running, and the smog settling, with the troubled memories of the disastrous campaign in Vietnam, and the victories of the Don Quixotes of the media as they charged the windmills of Watergate, all in one lifetime, all gone with the wind. But behind the debris of these self-styled sullen supermen and the imperial diplomatist, there stands the gigantic figure of one person, because of whom, by whom, in whom, and through whom alone all mankind might have hope, the person of Jesus Christ.
Why don't you just read that at the beginning, Jerry? We could have skipped the whole show.
Chills, dude.
Yeah.
Straight goose pimples right now.
Yeah. Well, it's a fantastic quote, and that's one of the reasons, too, why you look at the whole entirety of history, and this is one of the great things about podcasting is that sometimes you never really know what you're going to say until you say it.
Mm.
And so it was probably maybe like 40 minutes in, I was like, oh, let me find that quote.
That's great.
So yeah, but you had to listen to Ravi Zacharias do it, because I can't do justice. I wish I could find the quote. Although if I had planned for it, I would have just played that and just like stepped away.
Wow.
Yeah.
But hopefully that will give you some level-headedness in the context of everything.
Amen.
Look, people, you were asking for the zombie apocalypse over and over and over and over. It didn't come how you thought it was going to, or quite in the version you thought. Mm-hmm. But just go out there and think of it that way.
Yeah.
You know? Like when you're a zombie in the zombie apocalypse, every day's different.
Yeah.
You don't know. You don't know what the rules are. They're always changing. Everywhere you go, you just got to be aware. You got to learn the new rules.
Yeah.
There's the new rules, but guess what? We have the benefit of having Christ. So it's like you're in a zombie apocalypse with Jesus standing behind you. Don't despair.
Right. And as the great theologian...
There's some fun out there.
And as the great theologian David Bowie once said, take your protein pills and put your helmet on.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Dang. Yeah.
There's so many.
Yeah, it's
good. Some days I wake up and I think of the guy in Mad Max. Oh, what a lovely day.
Yeah.
You know, that's every day. I'm just going to the grocery store.
Maybe.
But I'm like armed.
Yeah.
You know, I got my mask on. Of course, I have like a digital camouflage one that looks super cool.
Nice.
So it's like, I think that everywhere I go, I'm like, or like I went to the bank and they have the old sticker on the window still that says, please remove any glasses or masks before entering. Because in pre-COVIDia times, that meant you were going to rob the bank, right? And they needed to identify you. So I came in and I've got my Corona mask on. I'm like,
I'm confused by the sign on the front. Do you want me to take the mask off or keep it on?
Just go out there and have some fun, man.
Yeah. We're a little bit after hour. We're going a little extra on this. But like I actually have a mask that was a 3D printed mask made by a guy at church that looks exactly like Bane from The Dark Knight Rises. And so I literally have gone, until a side note before we wrap things up here, so just left things up on somewhat of a humorous note. So all of you people are like, oh my gosh, we're all going to just laugh a little bit. You know,
you
still got to have humor. That I've gone in, when I've gone in with a mask, I actually talk completely like Bane. I go fully into character. So I'm like, no, me till I put on the mask. And so I went into a Starbucks.
You asked for this, people.
Someone gave me a gift card at a Starbucks, so I decided to go ahead and get whatever, frap something or whatever. And I put down the name I ordered in Bane's character.
And you had the mask on?
Yes. Now I'm like, I'll get a caramel frappuccino. And I said, what do you want to put that down? I was like, put it down as a League of Shadows. So the lady actually had to wrote down, it says, here's the order for League of Shadows.
Now, so this is my question to you.
Yeah.
What did she even react? Because this is what I'm finding. You go out and you do this ridiculous stuff, right? You're out there having a ball, like you're just wearing crazy masks and walking around like it's Halloween every day. And you ask people, like, my story about telling, you know, that COVIDia.
She might have. I couldn't tell she was wearing a mask.
Yeah, everyone seems so stiff.
No.
Like, you're doing ridiculous things, and people are so scared right now and have no idea how to behave that they just do whatever you say.
Well, she works at Starbucks, so there's probably some type of training. It's like, well, if they identify as the League of Shadows, if they identify as Batman, you say it straight-faced.
No matter what they say, you write it on that cup.
You write
I don't care.
On the cup.
Do you know what you could do before, as we wrap up here? Maybe... since you like Mad Max, is you remember that weird like mask that he had to wear like at the very beginning when he's like strapped to the front of the car?
Yeah.
Not only that, but like the bad guy Immortan Joe. Like the one guy he's like a mediocre.
Yeah.
That weird mask that he's wearing. I think you can on Etsy you can get a replica of one of those.
Because you just have to have a face covering.
Yeah.
That's a very loose term.
Yeah. It's like
I saw This is a true story.
Okay.
Another Insta. I know we're going over, but
no, it's good.
I actually took a picture of it because it was just so surreal. But there was a guy shopping in a Deadpool mask.
Oh, nice.
So he's like, so I walked up to him. And I was like, dude, I like your face covering. He's like, yeah. I mean, they said we had to wear one, and it's literally the only face covering I had in my house. So I'm like, you know, he's like in the frozen food section looking at Totino's pizza, but he can't read it because it's like a Halloween mask, right? It's not made for shopping in the grocery store. So he's like super close to the freezer, like trying to read which Totino's pizza he's selecting. And I'm like, this is it, guys.
Well,
this is a world without Christ. You got people shopping in Deadpool masks for Totino's pizza.
Wow.
He can't read it because it's not made for what's going on. And no one's stopping him because there's no standard at all.
Yeah. Wow. You think he'd be shopping for all? I thought he'd be shopping for chimichangas or something like that.
So. And I liked it too because he was just using his regular voice. Yeah. He's talking to me, you know?
Which is funny because if you just, as you wrap up, I think some of your coffee, cold brews got us a little hyper like going over. But no, it's almost like the whole mask thing is kind of like a parlay in Pirates of the Caribbean. It's like, they're not really rules. They're more like guidelines.
Yeah, loose guidelines.
So
they'll change next week.
All right. Thank you for hanging around with us. Like I said, this is a fun little impromptu episode, so hope you guys can kind of get to know us a little bit more and all of our craziness. Hopefully we're a little bit less crazy than whatever's going on in the world outside. And like I said, just go to Apologia All Access. No, ApologiaStudios.com. Join Apologia Access. That's the caffeine speaking to me because of the cold brew here. But ApologiaStudios.com. Go to Apologia All Access. Join. And help support the studio, help support what we're doing. And you can also check out Cultist the Aftermath, our new show, new after show after every single podcast. You can go deeper, and we'll be adding more content as, Lord willing, Andrew and I go full-time and make this our whole boat as we jump forward. And then also, this program can't continue without your support, so we would ask that you would also support us as well, too. Go to thecultistshow.com. You can also check out all our previous episodes. This is, you know, I think we have 70-something episodes now. Some of them are part one and part two. You can check out all the previous episodes. We have some blog content. But go to thecultistshow.com, specifically to the Donate tab. You can donate one time or monthly, partner with us, be part of the Cultish crew. And so that way, this ship becomes a full-time gig, a lot more content's going to come your way. And we are only held back by what we can do financially. So that's what our goal and aim is to do during these uncertain times. So all that being said, thank you all for listening, hanging out, putting up with us, and we'll do this again soon. And we got to have you in again soon. This was fun.
It's great.
Thanks for tolerating me, everyone. Yeah.
Tolerating. Keyword.
Yeah. Tolerance.
Mm.
So it's such a great thing right now. So, all right.
Okay.
We'll talk to you guys later. Talk to you on the flip side. Talk to you guys soon. Next time we enter into the kingdom of the cults, whatever is next in 2020. Talk to you guys soon.